Nashville. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Tommy Lunsford sings country music with the sensibilities of a jazz vocalist. She counts the stylings of Louis Armstrong as an early inspiration. The music industry calls what she does Americana, but Lunsford's songs may be more accurately described as country jazz.
I like the voice as an instrument. I love harmony and enhancing a song. That might be why I use my voice the way I do, because I want to get a few of these other notes in there.
It also helps to have a 4-octave range. Tommy Lunsford, after the break. There's country soul, there's country pop, but is there such a thing as country jazz? In 1930, Jimmy Rogers and Louis Armstrong recorded together in California. And all these years later, singer Tommy Lunsford may be breathing new life into the country jazz idea. Lunsford is a classically trained singer who comes from bluegrass blue blood. Her great uncle was the history-making folklorist Bascom Lunsford, who has his own place in the Country Music Hall of Fame. Her father was a bluegrass fiddle player and songwriter whose songs were recorded by the likes of Ronnie Millsap, Charlie Pride, and Louisiana's own Cox family, among others. And she grew up singing in a family act called the Lunsfords. But by any fair account, Tommy Lunsford is a late bloomer. After more than 40 years in the business as a backup singer and singer-songwriter, she's released only her second album, called Come On Blue. And Come On Blue has been praised universally among music critics as worth the wait. One of the songs featured on the record takes Lunsford back to a classic, first recorded by Great Uncle Bascom, called I Wish I Was a Mole in the Ground.
Oh, I wish I was a mole in the ground. Well, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. Oh, I wish I was a mole. Hole in the ground. Well, Tempe wants an $100 show. Well, Tempe wants an $100 show. When I come over the hill with a $40 bill. Tis baby, where you been so long? Well, I've been in the bin so long. I've been in the bin so long. Well, I've been in the bin with some rough and rowdy men. Well, I've been in the bin so long. Well, I don't like railroad man. No, I don't like the railroad man. Well, the railroad man, he'll kill you when he can. Oh, and drink up your blood like wine. I wish I was a lizard in the street. time was a mole in the ground. Well, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. Oh, yeah. Oh, I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Thank you. We're joining Tommy Lunsford at her home in Nashville. Thank you so much for having us over.
Oh, it's a real pleasure, y'all being here.
You know, I suspect that great uncle Bascom did not sound like that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's spinning. I don't know. He's in his grave.
But you arranged this song, right? You arranged this song differently from its traditional
Yes. Melody. I mean, you know, it just came out that way. It comes out that way. I love the song. I've heard it all my life. I do other music, and for me, I kind of focused on that song just to settle my insides, you know, and to know this is who I am. And the way it comes out is, you know, I have to just let it be. So
I suppose so. It's true. But that's very interesting that you bring that. This song represents sort of the square root of Tommy Lunsford and of your musical life.
Yeah, and heritage. I mean, it really is fun. Also about that song, I can just hear, to me, I see my relatives in it. I think one of the things that my grandfather, who's Bascom's brother, they both have this rhythmic, they talk like that, and I mean, I can feel it. I don't know, that's kind of, when I hear that song, I can just hear him singing. I don't know, it just kind of zones in for that for me.
Exactly. But the point is that, you know, that your roots are really interesting in the sense that, you know, many people see people like Bascom Lunsford, people like even A.P. Carter, you know, as people who recorded Appalachian music, who recorded folk music and mountain music, and saved this tradition for, you know, ensuing generations.
Right.
And so in a way, it's like we all owe some kind of debt to those men and others like them.
And it's challenging, you know, and he really loved his home territory there and the music there and the people he roamed around.
I, Bascom Lamar Lunsford of South Turkey Creek, Leicester, North Carolina. I possibly should leave out the word being sound of sound mind because I've been recording some 325 of my personal memory collection of folk songs. And I trust that through the years, the rising generation will avail themselves of what beauty may be found in these recordings. I give them somewhat in the spirit of the poet. I shot an arrow into the air, it fell to earth, I know not where. The long years after, still unbroke, I found that arrow in the heart of an oak. I breathed the song into the air, it came to earth, I know not where. But long years after, from beginning to end, I found that song in the heart of a friend. This is Bascom Lamar Lunsford, sometimes called the Minstrel of the Appalachians, finishing his last recording here, March 25th, 1949, in the studio at the Library of Congress.
He and my grandfather, they kind of started the Mountain Dance and Folk Festival together. They used to play together as kids.
And that's where?
In Asheville.
In Asheville. Are you from North Carolina?
I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, the land of the sky.
My understanding is that you actually have a 4-octave range voice when you sing.
I could have that. You know, it's every day. Isn't it? It's getting more challenging every day. If you don't use it, you lose it. I've got the deep and the high.
And is that what it means ultimately? What does 4-octave
mean? It just means like, you know.
Well, let me me ask you this. A four-octave range suggests that you have a lot of tools to attack a song.
Mm-hmm.
But is that too much power for today's country music industry to know what to do with?
I hear what you're saying. To me, you know, the dynamics of it, you know, is the other part. Because I'm not a shouter all the time. I can do that if I need to, but the octaves are just being able to have something to keep it interesting.
Exactly. It's like gears, I guess. It's like gears,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always use the,
the
gear
exactly.
that makes you go 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how old were you when you began singing?
I was little. I was, you know, like second grade, I think. You know, I really took it on. I felt like I was a singer. And, you know, my father, being a musician.
Jim Lunsford.
Jim, mm-hmm. my father. He encouraged it. And he had people over to the house, the musicians. He was in many bands. Anyway, but he taught me a couple of songs. So I felt like I was a singer then. And in the summertime, Roger Miller was one of my first ones.
Summertime, when logs are raising leaves are green, and the redbird sings out the blue, 'cause she don't want my love. Beep, pop, beep, da, da.
This could be a big fat cliche, and you know, I'm just as guilty of them as anybody else. But you know, I mean, but in a lot of American music, you know, fans they appreciate a distinctive voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't necessarily understand or appreciate a trained voice,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, to the same degree. You
right.
know, they suspect that training interferes with authenticity
mm-hmm.
in some kind of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, have you run across that?
If they're good, you can hear it no matter what style. The good ones work. Those others, you know, is like boring or whatever. But for me, my trained voice that you're talking about is, you know, I avoided it. And during that, my first attempt at college, I started singing with my family a lot. So I put it off for a while. And then when I came back to get my degree, I went with voice, and it was like so wonderful. I just loved it. First of all, you know, all this material, it's just gorgeous stuff you get to learn.
Where'd you go? What school?
Well, I started at Peabody, George Peabody College for Teachers, which is now Vanderbilt. But
right,
anyway.
Here in Nashville. Uh-huh.
And then I ended up at Tennessee State University, which was totally fun. And I was in some good choirs there. I was more of a mature student. So I was able to enjoy it totally. I got totally into it. It was helpful with breathing, opening your mouth, just the concept, the getting an identity of who you are. And
but you know, as music lovers, we're encouraged to infer a great deal from the voice of the performer. You know,
mm-hmm.
So for instance, like George Jones, I mean, he sounds mm-hmm. like a bartender from Nowheresville, right? Or,
yeah.
you know, or Waylon Jennings, he actually does sound like an outlaw. I
yeah,
mean, I could
yeah.
hear, I could,
That's
you know,
funny.
Hear a gun cock and hear Waylon
yeah.
Jennings tell me to, you know, reach for the sky, you
yeah.
know, or Loretta Lynn always sounds like she's washing dishes. I don't know
oh,
why, but every
funny.
Time I
yeah,
see
yeah.
her, I mean, after my,
she's
I hear her, I'm
in
thinking,
the kitchen.
She's singing while she's washing dishes or
yeah.
something, you know? And so when you sing, like, what do you want people to hear about you, about your identity in your voice?
Oh, man, what a heavy question. I mean, I'm an all over the place person, you know, and I like the voice as an instrument. I love harmony and in enhancing a song. That might be why I use my voice the way I do, because I want to get a few of these other notes in there.
Postpone our love. Postpone our love. Postpone the day. Put away the time. Right now, I'll paint
as I'm maturing, the words are more to me now. You know, before I was just in dreamland, music, the melody, the harmony. Now I've always, of course, enjoyed the words, but it's more normal for me to actually express it.
That's interesting. You know, in many ways, you sound like a lot, you know, I mean, some of the wonderful jazz vocalists of the last century, you know, Sarah Vaughan, that's how she was to a large degree.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the words as much as it was like what she could do with the notes,
getting,
you know,
there. Uh-huh.
Or Betty Carter, for instance.
Ooh,
you know.
Yeah.
Every kiss, every hug seems to act just like a drug. You're getting to be a habit with me, dear. Let me stay in your arms. I'm addicted to your charms. You're getting to be a habit with me. I used to think your love was something that I could take or leave alone. But now I couldn't do without my supply. I need you for my own. Oh, I can't break away. I must have you every day.
Bluegrass is jazz, and I've always, you know, my father.
Okay, how? Really? Bluegrass is jazz?
If you're playing it the way I like it. But it's, you know, it's extemporaneous, and they do crazy things with instrumentals most of the time. Then it's, you know, bluegrass, some of the singers are just outrageous.
Well, I got this worn-out guitar. I carry it in an old tow sack. Says I've honked it about 200 times. Said I always get it back. I'm a free-born man. My home is on my back. I know every inch highway, every foot of back road, every mile of railroad track.
It's interesting because I had never really associated the two genres before, like bluegrass and jazz, in terms of instrumental. But you make a good point. I mean, in the sense that, you know, if you have like a bunch of musicians on stage who are listening to each other,
mm-hmm.
and who are improvising,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether the form be bluegrass or jazz,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, may not be as important as the improvisation that's happening.
Oh, there's some really good bluegrass musicians that have gone, you know, slipped over into the jazz thing.
Is that true?
I'm trying to. Jesse McReynolds, that mandolin player, the guy's great. I think of bluegrass, I really identify with it because I was around it, and just the way the instruments go together, and it's like jazz. And then I'm in high school, I was obsessed with listening to jazz, old jazz, and like Louis Armstrong. I loved him as a vocalist.
What you do with a song is fascinating in the sense that you find all of these sounds that can flesh out the melody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people just sing things straight, you know?
Right.
And you find all this filigree around it.
Yeah, and that's my natural tendency. I have to control myself sometimes. I like the sound of words. I like consonants and vowels. I love a vowel. I like, you know, that's just, it's like, I don't know, they may have a name for it, OCDC, block, whatever, but that's the zone that I'm in and doing my music.
Well, that's it. I mean, because it's like, on some level your voice is like a 64 color box of crayons.
Yeah.
But when you have 64 colors, you have to make more decisions.
Oh, God.
About how to approach a very simple song. Can you give us an example?
An example.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like singing an example?
Like a song that everybody knows. And like, can you show us what, you know, I mean, how you can help yourself but to change it?
What's the religious song everybody always sings?
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. It's like,
oh, try that one.
Amazing Grace. Oh, well. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, it's like, saves a wretch like me. You know, coming into it, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, and I've been out a thousand years, bright shining as the sun. There's no less days who sing God's praise than when it could go on and on and on.
We're in Nashville, speaking with country music singer Tommy Lunsford. Coming up, a songwriter's perpetual dilemma. What's a better word than baby? Lunsford brainstorms with one of the world's most beloved wordsmiths. Stay with us.
Doom, doom.
It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This is the melody that country music singer-songwriter Tommy Lunsford was humming more than 40 years ago. That's when she met a celebrated lyricist who'd come to Nashville. He was also a popular author of children's books. Turns out, Lunsford and Shel Silverstein were a good fit.
See, it's got all those different parts to
okay,
it.
Okay, and
he was
so,
singing, oh, another part. Oh, okay, let's see. Let's figure this out. Okay. It was funny.
And so what did he write?
And he said, well, so what do you call your love boat, smoochy, or something for a character, the name of your lover or whatever. And couldn't think of anything, so we settled on baby.
The time-honored baby, yes.
Which went great, and it worked, and it was a simple little melody, even though it has a lot of different approaches. And he came up with words which were just pretty hilarious, like from one point of view to the other. Anyway, come on, baby, take me along, take me along. You know you can't leave me. Come on, baby, take me along with you. Isn't that so, Shel Silverstein?
So it's not one character talking to another character, is it? Is it, or both characters
it's
talking?
One it's one character talking, and they're saying what the other person is thinking. You're going to be thinking about me, sitting around thinking about you. I'm going to be sitting around thinking about you, thinking about me. So just take me along.
Okay. Well, would you mind performing it for us?
Let me see. Okay. Come on, baby, take me along, you know you can't leave me, so come on, baby, take me along with you. Can't you see it's starting to rain, you're gonna need me, so come on, baby, take me along with you. Sit around thinking of me, sitting alone thinking of you. You're gonna lay around dreaming of me, dreaming of you out on your own. So come on, baby, take me along, you know we can't leave me. So come on, baby, don't leave me alone, take me along with you. Come on, baby.
take me along, take me along. You know you can't leave me, so come on, baby, take me along with you. Can't you see it's starting to rain, starting to rain? You're gonna need me, so come on, baby, don't leave me alone, take me along with you. Sitting alone, thinking of me. I'm gonna lay around dreaming of you, dreaming of me out on your own. So come on, baby, take me along, you know you can't leave me. Come on, baby, don't leave me alone. Take me along with you, take me along with you. Take me along with you, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby.
Not bad. Not bad at all. That's a wonderful
nice
song.
Comic relief song.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about your family now.
Okay.
All right. So you grew up in this large Catholic family in the Bible Belt, mm-hmm. North Carolina and
1%
Tennessee.
1% Catholic in North Carolina. There are not many Catholics in North Carolina.
Not many Catholics. No, no. With was it 12 brothers and sisters, ultimately?
Yeah, I had 6 brothers and 6 sisters.
Can you name them all in one go?
Of course. Beating Jimmy, Nance, Stallman, Tracy, Yummy, Kippy, Joey, Eppy, John, Shelby, Sam, and Silas.
Do it again.
Beanie, Jimmy, Nancy, Tommy, Tracy, Yummy, Kippy, Joey, Eppy, John, Shelby, Sam, Silas.
And where do you fall in this group?
I'm number 4.
You're number 4.
Number 4. I'm in the big shot. I'm a big shot.
Now, your dad, Jim Lunsford, he was a bluegrass fiddle player and songwriter. And and he also sold songs to Ronnie Millsap. He sold songs to Charlie Pride, among others. So how close to fame did he get as a performer or songwriter,
Jim Lunsford? He was all around it, but he was people didn't know him unless they really were into the details. So, back in the day, you know, because he was a side musician, you know, he played with other people in his early days as a fiddle player, and then as a songwriter, he did well, but he didn't have like major hits. He had B-side. That's when they had B-sides. He had some of that on, but he wasn't famous. He has a couple of songs that are a lot of people know and love. That Blue Ridge Mountain's Turning Green and Streets of Gold.
Found myself on a lonesome journey, the streets of gold I tried to find. The Indian spirit softly whispered and cooled the blood of restless mind. I'm going back to the Smoky Mountains and breathe the air that fed my soul.
I'll bury me deep
in the leaves of history, and there I'll find my streets of gold. Springtime opens up my heart, makes me want to share that good old mountain air. Life's so young and free for all, for those who answer the Blue Ridge Mountain call. Blue Ridge Mountains turning green, I wanna go home again to see my mountain friends.
But he has others, but those are the ones that are known most, I hear people refer to.
Yeah, and Dixie Breakdown.
Dixie Breakdown, the fiddle tune that he wrote with Reno and Smiley, the bluegrass band that he was with early on. And
like in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, 50s probably.
Bit about some of the challenges that your dad faced as a bluegrass musician.
His challenges were steady work, I suppose, because he had a bunch of kids. All of a sudden, he had children, and with Reno and Smiley, he was with them, and then he got sick. He got Hodgkin's disease, and back then it was like a death sentence or whatever.
How old was he? How old?
He was like maybe 28, something like that. He had 5 kids, though, I think, at that point. I remember hearing, oh, I won't be able to see Tommy go to school. So I wasn't in school yet. And so Reno and Smiley, they were worried. He's sick. We're going to have to get somebody else. And so he missed out on that gig just that way, just by being sick. And so then he had to catch back up. But there's just challenges keeping work that pays the bills. And he would take other jobs. He drove a candy truck, I remember. and he worked for Gerber Baby Food. It's not necessarily his ideal thing, but it was a job. And then Florida, we had some Florida time. That's where he worked on at a ranch, was the music guy at the ranch, and would also do some, he would be the MC for rodeos and things.
Like a dude ranch?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A ranch where there were horses and people would come to the ranch and learn how to ride a horse, and then they had rodeos there too.
So, yeah.
Well, then we moved to Nashville and we pretty much stayed there.
And so let's talk a little bit about the Lunsfords.
Oh, let us cheer the weary traveler. Let us cheer the weary traveler. Along the heavenly road. Oh, let us cheer the weary traveler.
This was a group that you were involved with as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
So who was in it?
I was in it along with Jim.
Your father?
My father and Nancy and Teresa, my two sisters. And so we would usually do backup to Jim's vocal.
And this was in the 70s or?
This was in the 70s. We were together for 7 years, I recall. So, and Jim died in 78. So around that. And Teresa missed her graduation. We had a gig. Her high school graduation. So that's kind of the time period, 71 to 78.
I'm bound for high ground.
Well,
I'm bound for high ground.
I'm seeking a
starry crown. I can't remain on this earthly plane, for I'm bound for high ground.
When I met my mother this morning, she's climbing up the hill so slow, trying to get to heaven in due time, believe heaven doors close, trying to get to heaven in due time before the heaven doors close.
Why don't you shake me, Lord?
And so are some people just born with the ability to harmonize and other people aren't?
I think so. Some people have an advantage. It's easier for them. But when you're making music, it's kind of like a mystery constantly. You're in a mystery and you're finding your way.
Well, do you think you could play Wind Blew Cold for us?
Oh, a request? I hope so. And this is one that Jim, my father, wrote.
Well, I was standing on the corner at the Flatiron Building in Asheville, North Carolina, waiting for the one who's putting me down, leaving me way behind. And the wind was cold, the wind blew cold. Well, I walk around the corner for to have a cup of coffee and a meeting a buddy instead. We go across the river for a shot of white lightning and move me out of my head. And the wind was cold, the wind blew cold. I can't forget those lonesome days. Nothing seemed to go my way. I've been put down by the one I love, and the wind was cold. Started walking in the summer across the Hot Springs Mountain in Knoxville, Tennessee. I hear a freight train whistle and a cold wind blowing. Nobody talking to me, and the wind was cold, the wind blew cold. Well, a couple of fellas in a long truck are moving to me to the Tennessee line. We got to trucking and a drinking over troubles on a bottle of a homemade wine. And the wind was cold, the wind blew cold. Can't forget those lonesome days. Nothing seemed to go my way. I've been put down by the one I love, and the wind was cold, Lord, Lord, and the wind blew cold. I can't forget those lonesome days. Nothing seemed been put down by the one I love, and the wind was cold, Lord, Lord, and the wind blew cold, and the wind was cold, Lord, Lord, and the wind blew cold. Woo.
Well done. Well done. That's a wonderful song. It's got a lot of great energy to it.
It does. It's a good song. It's a hilarious song.
I'm sure it's all true.
That was The Wind Blew Cold, sung by our guest, Tommy Lunsford. Her father, Jim Lunsford, wrote the song, which appears on her 1997 album, High Ground. Coming up, Tommy and you and a pal named Blue. We're in Nashville. Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. Country jazz singer Tommy Lunsford has made two critically acclaimed albums, including the 2016 release, Come On Blue. It's easy to concentrate on her singing, but her songwriting may be equally impressive. We're sitting at her dining room table in Nashville, and here she is with an oldie called Did I Just Fool Myself?
I'm gonna blue eyes suddenly cease to shine. How can the truest love suddenly mean so little to me? How can a love that's always been be no more than just a friend? Did I just fool myself? How can a love this strong just turn out wrong? Suddenly drift away, leaving a heart of empty feeling. How can a love that's always been be no more than just a friend? Then I just fool. Was it love I really had? That's all. It's just an hour, no feelings gone. Like evening sees the sun go away. Did I just fool?
song.
It is a beautiful song, actually, and it speaks to like a very slender emotion for which there is no word in the English language. You know what I mean? So then you've got to make a whole song about it to a large degree to describe it, right?
And it's like recognizing that feeling, and you know, it's simple but meaningful.
Yeah, what never was.
Yeah. That's good. So true. Oh. We've all been there.
But 19 years later, you come out with a whole new album. Now, that's quite a break. Come on, Blue.
Yeah.
And what the heck were you doing for the past 19 years?
Oh. I've got some really great gardens at all the different houses I lived in. I was doing music, but not focused on myself. I did a lot of music with other people. And I went to school and finished my degree probably during that time period.
And so what did you want Come On Blue to say?
Robin Eaton is the producer of this record. And Warren Denny.
Uh-huh.
The three of us wanted to express more of where I was currently, you know, instead of all of the older stuff. You know, you want to do something, you want to move on, and
And where are you currently?
It's more simple, straightforward, and the instrumentation for me is the biggest difference. An electric guitar that can do lots of different things that would complement my voice. Having that and drums and a bass.
Someone I could call on when I needed to cry. A kind of love like that. Someone you could call on with no questions asked. Now I'm stuck out here, my mind is blown. While they're out there drinking and singing and carrying on. Liars and lovers, the weak and the strong. All my go-to people are gone.
Well, do you want to tell us who Blue is?
Blue. He's my doggy. He's gone on to doggy heaven. I'm sure he's in heaven and telling people what to do up there now.
What kind of dog was he?
He was a blue heeler.
What is
mix. A blue heeler is like one of those cattle dogs. They herd. And he has that coloring that almost looks blue. And we tried to come up with some name, ended up Blue really suited him. Anyway, he was a great dog, a real close friend, and anyway.
It's not often that someone, you know, names their album after their dog.
I think you're going
to get a PETA prize or something,
funny.
Huh?
It took me the longest time to come. You know, when you get a collection of songs and it's not like they're kind of different directions, whatever. And
eclectic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Come On Blue, because it could have multiple meanings and the whole thing. Blue is a beautiful word.
It is a beautiful word. It really is. Oh, my gosh. And so you sort of touched on this earlier, this idea of like you wanted to sing something fresh and something that was more representative of where you were, I suppose, spiritually and physically and experientially, you know what I mean, in your life right now.
Yep.
And so this is like four decades in, singing-wise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
Right. And so how would you describe yourself now?
You know, the way I describe myself now is like I'm happy. I have a really nice family with my husband. And he's like me. We like good things, good people, good drinking, and good camaraderie. But also, you know, it's like I think musically. I mean, I can't help but when I'm thinking as a performer, somebody's got to hold down the thing of music and melody and really good harmony. And when I put attention toward making something, that's usually the direction I go.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tommy Lunsford.
All right.
And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Garrett Pittman, Jason Rhine, Flawn Williams, Paul McDonald, and Lars Howell. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. For more information about Tommy Lunsford, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Rosa Mary Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.
Well, the time came and went, the money quickly spent, I'm lonesome. Where are you right now, my Alabama darling?
This week, the last word goes to Tommy Lunsford. Sitting at her dining room table in Nashville, we asked her again and again what her songs mean. And again, she said what most artists say, that songs mean whatever listeners want them to mean. But then we asked her about a song she wrote called Taking Care of Dreamers.
That's a song that's been many years in the making. Actually, I was talking about my sisters, Nancy and Teresa. We did a reunion show at one point, and Nancy was introducing my mother out in the crowd. Frances is my mother. And she said, here's a woman who's been taking care of dreamers for 40 years, which I just, you know, that's so cool. And it's so true.
Well, yeah, 13 kids.
She was really good at, she's good at whatever she does. So she went through some crazy, crazy, crazy times. You'll have to get it from her. She's seen it all.
The sun is always out. The wolf is never at my door. Impossible is always possible. You can follow your dreams and they come true. But when you got some, there for you when you got someone who cares for you, when you got someone who loves you. Trouble is always near, struggling every day. Some My heart, keeping dreams alive with your love. You made me tough, you made me strong. The sun shines bright on.